It's time to immerse yourself in the world of college football. ESPN 1000 has studied hard and has all the answers. This is Chicago's College Tailgate Show with Jonathan Hood, Chris Black, and Adam Abdallah. Advanced degrees not required. Understanding the Wildcat? Essential. Chicago's College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Welcome in to Chicago's College Tailgate on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Black, along with Adam Abdallah. Jonathan Hood has the weekend off. We are here to talk to you about college football over the course of the next 2.5 hours. We are on till 1:30 this afternoon, walking you into coverage of Notre Dame football, which you can hear their next game right here on ESPN 1000, starting at 1:30. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish, take on Georgia Tech. So we'll preview that game, and we have a bunch of storylines today, Adam, as Chicago's College Tailgate is brought to you by Four Wind Casino. And Adam, there is a lot of news taking place here at 11 o'clock as we get this show started. We will cover all the games kicking off here at 11 o'clock in this 11 o'clock window. But there's a lot of news, especially with the quarterback for the Clemson Tigers, as the Tigers are set to take on Boston College. Trevor Lawrence out this weekend with COVID-19.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're starting to see this happen with Illinois as well. They were rumored earlier this week to have some COVID cases, and their quarterback and their tight end have been out. And, you know, you've got some more people missing, some more players missing from the Clemson sideline as well. And they're just out. You know, there's no designation. They're just unavailable. So whether that means they were put into quarantine because of contact tracing, or, you know, they have other injuries, schools have decided not to, you know, some schools have decided to say whether or not their players have COVID-19. Some schools have just decided to say that they're unavailable. You know, Trevor Lawrence wanted to make this public. He's kind of become the face of college football this season, right? He's become the one to be out in front of social justice. He's been the one that's kind of organizing all the players for the return to play. He's the one that said, hey, let people know that I have COVID-19. I want people to know how serious this is. You know, they did the testing. He's got to isolate for 10 days. The timeline puts him back, you know, just before the Notre Dame game. He's going to have to go through all of the respiratory testing to see how if there's any effect there, and all the cardiac testing. And then they're going to have to put him through some practices to see if he's game ready. That's a big thing too, is how effective is he going to be after he gets over this, because he was suffering from mild symptoms, and we kind of don't know how this affects people in the long term and the short term. You know, we've heard from players that they have shortness of breath. You know, you saw for the White Sox that they had issues, you know, with players being with having quote down seasons. But it was like Moncada had COVID-19 and he had a quote down season. Well, he had COVID-19. You know, like that's the reason he had a down season. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops and if he can get back out there for the Notre Dame game.
So like we're saying, there's a bunch of news happening at this hour. We will address Illinois in just a second. The Trevor Lawrence thing. So Dabo Swinney was on College Game Day this morning on ESPN. He said Trevor Lawrence is doing great. He said he spoke to the team via Zoom before the game. And he is the only positive on the Clemson roster, per Dabo Swinney this morning on ESPN's College Game Day. When Dabo was asked, I believe by Holly Rowe, whether or not there's a timeline for Trevor Lawrence to return, Dabo was quoted as saying, I don't know anything about a timeline right now. And he said that they were only focused on the game today against Boston College, which is just kicking off. So that's the news out of Clemson, the number one team in the country. Trevor Lawrence has COVID-19, will not play today. As Dabo Swinney says, he doesn't know anything about a timeline. Adam mentioned that next game is against Notre Dame. Whether or not the COVID-19 protocols will allow for Trevor Lawrence to play in that contest is something we'll keep our eyes on over the course of the next week. The other news today and this week is we look at Wisconsin in the Big Ten, a big victory on Friday night last week. And we say, well, look at this. Mertz, how about that? A quarterback for Wisconsin. Finally, Ooh. Wisconsin has a quarterback. Well, over the course of the next week, we go forward from the game on Friday, and Mertz now has COVID-19. This morning, also on College Game Day, here's the news from this situation, because Wisconsin over the week put its football program on pause. And so Wisconsin will not play today against Nebraska. Well, here's the thing from Barry Alvarez earlier this morning on College Game Day. Alvarez said this morning he was told that the Wisconsin football program has 22 positive tests, 10 from the staff, 12 from the players. Oof. And Barry Alvarez this morning on ESPN's College Game Day was quoted as saying that the number is growing. They thought it would go the opposite direction. They thought that they had a handle on it, but the number is growing. So when asked by Reese Davis on whether or not Wisconsin's going to be able to play next week, Barry Alvarez did not have an answer for him, because he said, quote, they need to get their arms around this COVID problem. He said the next update from Barry Alvarez will be on Tuesday of this week. So that's the second piece of news this morning in college football, is that Wisconsin, the numbers are going up for the Wisconsin football program. Now, the third piece of news, Abdallah alluded to it. Illinois is playing Purdue right now. Illinois is without their starting quarterback, Brandon Peters, who tested positive for COVID-19. A tight end, Griffin Moore, also out with COVID-19. And based on contact tracing, other players on the Illinois team are out as well, including the starting center on the offensive line. So Illinois now has a bunch of players heading into this game. Now, it was an embarrassing loss on Friday night last week against Wisconsin, but now you have two teams within the Big Ten, one team that would put on pause, another team without their starting quarterback facing Purdue today, and many others missing the game because of COVID-19. And that's the latest in the Big Ten this morning.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at it just in terms of, obviously, we hope everyone gets better and gets healthy, but when we look at it and you look at in terms of the season, right? Like, how does this affect this season? We talked about it, you know, leading up to the kickoff of the Big Ten. How would this affect teams that want to go into a national championship game? How would this affect if a team missed a game, could they still be considered for a national championship game? And it looks to be, you know, the only team that's going to be up for consideration is going to be Ohio State. I mean, you know, Maryland beats Minnesota yesterday. Wisconsin's missing games. Penn State already lost. Michigan is going to have to play Ohio State at the end of their season, you know, on December 12th. So that'll take care of itself. But I think that you're starting to see with the Big Ten protocol of teams having to and players having to sit out for 21 days that it's going to be tough to reschedule these games, because the committee is going to put out their rankings on December 20th. And the Big Ten is going to have their Big Ten championship on December 19th. The last day of the season is December 12th. There is no margin for error. And we talked about whether or not the Big Ten should have just started. And then, you know, like the SEC did, like the ACC did, like, you know, the Pac-12 is waiting until next week. So we talked about how whether or not this was a good decision for the Big Ten. And a lot of people said, yes, it is, because, you know, you want to do the safest thing possible. You want to have all the testing available and all that kind of stuff. But then, you know, fans of these teams, and especially players of these teams and coaches, you know, look at Ohio State, look at Nebraska. They were the first ones that were out there saying we should be playing because of the margin for error. Like, we can't afford any form of shutdown. And now Wisconsin isn't going to play for 2, possibly 3 weeks, because, or maybe even more, depending on how many cases pop up because of this outbreak. You know, the more and more cases pop up, the more and more, you know, people are going to be out, and kids are going to be out, and players are going to be out, and coaching staff is going to be out, and you just push and keep moving the start date back and back and back further. You know, if this gets to Ohio State, will they be considered for a national championship if they only play 6 games, if a game gets canceled? Does a game get canceled and it's not their fault? Are they considered? You know, there's a lot that's going to go into how many games is enough for the eye test. They beat Nebraska 52-17. They've got ranked Penn State tonight at 6:30. They still have to play Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan, and Michigan State. And Michigan, you know, obviously we saw Michigan dismantle Minnesota last weekend. So it's going to come into question. It's going to be something we talk about every single week leading up to December 20th. are these teams going to be able to be under consideration for the national championship game?
Yeah, absolutely. That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Bleck here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. So that's the news this morning when we look at the latest in college football. A lot of moving parts and a lot of kind of waiting and seeing. And like Adam says, whether or not the impact of this will affect the college football playoff. An early score update, Boston College up 7-0 on Clemson 2 minutes into the game. So it's one thing to keep our eyes on throughout the day in a couple of different situations in the Big Ten. Like Adam was saying, the margin for error is very small. Do you want to talk some actual football, Abdallah? Because big game tonight at Beaver Stadium in College Park, Pennsylvania, 6:30 on ABC, Ohio State, the number 3 ranked team in the country, faces off against the number 18 Penn State Nittany Lions. And Penn State, they lose a tough game against Indiana on the road to open the Big Ten season. Ohio State looked great in the second half against Nebraska, but it seemed like they had some trouble getting out of the starting blocks in the first half of that contest last weekend.
I have a question for you, Chris, about this.
Go ahead.
After yesterday's game with Maryland and Minnesota and how Northwestern beat up on Maryland the week before, right? Are we seeing that because of the delayed start and the lack of practices and all that, that maybe it's just Ohio State and everybody else? Like, is this just going to be like tonight, Ohio State is a 10.5-point favorite against Penn State? I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer. Like, I'm taking Ohio State because I just think that maybe it's overreaction to Penn State losing and how they lost to Indiana last week. But I just think that Ohio State is hands down the best team in that conference. It's like Clemson and everybody else in the ACC. Like, yeah, we can say, okay, Notre Dame and North Carolina, that's cute and everything. And Miami was cute. But look at what they did to Miami. I have a feeling that because teams weren't, you know, together for a prolonged period of time and the delayed start to the season, that the cream is always going to rise to the top. And the cream that is Ohio State is just going to be that much better because that they're already that much better. And when you can't get together and you can't, you know, you're doing practices on Zooms and trying to go over tape on Zoom and all that kind of stuff, how much it affects these other programs that just aren't up to the caliber that is Ohio State. Like, I'm sure Penn State's going to put forth a good effort, but from what I saw against Indiana and the ability for Indiana to just go up and down the field how they wanted to, I feel like this is going to be just Ohio State saying, hey, we did come out slow in the first half last week, but you know what? We need style points. Because this goes back to what I said before the start of the season. Ohio State needs style points, because if a game against Illinois gets canceled, if a game against, you know, if their big game against Michigan at the end of the season gets canceled for some reason, they need to run it up, because there has to be no doubt whatsoever that Ohio State deserves to be in the national championship game. And that goes into tonight. Like, I think they're just firing on so many more cylinders than any other team in the Big Ten. And you saw that because of Minnesota and Maryland last night.
Man, you're throwing shade at Northwestern early. I mean, I know that they're not ranked after that big victory last week, but they got 20 votes in the AP top 25. So, I mean, listen, Abdallah, you say it's just Ohio State. I think the Wildcats up in Evanston have something to say about that.
Well, okay, they can talk all they want to, but I'm giving you a real answer, because we talked about it last week, and the new offensive coordinator that came over from Minnesota that turned Tanner Morgan into a great quarterback, and now he's over there at Northwestern. I'm not saying that they're going to have this high flying offense all season, but they're going to have a better offense. They are a better football team because they have a new offense and because the grass is taller.
Well, listen, the real response to your point about Ohio State would be Wisconsin and Michigan both have something to say to that. Whether or not Wisconsin plays in the next week or so, that's up in the air. But Michigan is playing today against Michigan State. We'll see how good the Wolverines are after beating the Gophers last week. It's Bleck and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. We have a lot to do today over the course of the next 2.5 hours, keeping our eyes on all the games that kicked off at 11 a.m. Coming up next, Abdallah, it is Halloween. And I want to do a college football trick or treat segment coming up next here on Chicago's College Tailgate.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show with Jonathan Hood, Chris Black, and Adam Abdallah.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
It's Chicago's College Tailgate brought to you by Four Winds Casino. Black and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Jonathan Hood has the weekend off talking college football with you. I want to get to something in just a moment. Abdallah, I'm going to ask you some trick-or-treat questions regarding the college football.
Ooh, because spooky.
It is Halloween, so we got to follow the theme of the day. Before we get to that, though, I just wanted to mention quickly, you saw the news earlier today that Sean Connery passed away at age 90. I saw that this morning, Abdallah, and it struck me because growing up, like, I get it that you and I are two of the younger guys at the station, but I grew up watching James Bond films and the old classics from the 60s, you know, GoldenEye, Thunderball, From Russia with Love. I mean, not only was Sean Connery James Bond, but he was the coolest dude ever. And so I just want to kind of acknowledge Sean Connery passing away today at age 90.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it probably was because, you know, I always heard that Pierce Brosnan was a bad James Bond. And I was like, what do you mean he's bad? And they're like, well, watch this. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, maybe he's not bad, but he's definitely not Sean Connery, right? But think of some of my favorite movies are the bad 90s action movies. And I don't mean bad in like I'm not watching this. I mean, like, The Rock is a good movie, but like, it's not a great movie. Like, The Rock's not winning any Academy Awards or anything like
that. Bite your tongue. The Rock is not fantastic.
But I love those. I love those.
He was awesome as Mason in The Rock.
I understand that. I mean, The Untouchables, he was obviously one of the great actors, for sure.
You can't go to Alcatraz and not try and think about Sean Connery and The Rock escaping and then having to navigate with Nick Cage within The Rock and then trying to figure it out and to foil the threat of the terrorists in that movie. I mean, that movie's fantastic. There's
Hunt for Red October. Oh, come on. Yeah. Indiana Jones. Last Crusade.
No, it's
amazing.
Indiana Jones' father. He is so good in that movie, which is absolutely a classic. But he will forever be known as James Bond. And like you're saying, all James Bonds get compared back to Sean Connery. But like, the thing that I always loved about the Connery James Bond films was that, like, they were kind of goofy at times, but also he was so cool that, like, it didn't matter. You know what I mean? Like, Diamonds Are Forever has some spots that are a little goofy. I know in a couple of the other ones, you kind of have, like, different gadgets. You have different things that take place where it's like, that's completely crazy, right? Like, you think back to Goldfinger and Oddjob, right? Like, the little henchman that's there. Throwing his hat. Like, there's just iconic moments, but Bond is still like the coolest. Like, even when he was playing golf with Goldfinger and Goldfinger was cheating, you know, like, Bond still knew what was going on and he like had everything under control. And that's just something I'm always going to remember.
See, I would rather have that style of Bond, the campy Bond, where there's like, oh, what is this? Like the, you know, it fits the there's a script to James Bond. I don't need this dark and brooding. Let's go to your past.
Well, there's an outline that the original Bonds all followed. It's very obvious that they all had the same kind of setup to all the movies.
Exactly. And so I don't want the let's go into your dark past. Like, I don't need Spectre. Like, I don't need it. No, not for me. Give me an old style James Bond where there's weird villains. There's crazy gadgets. There's a lot of drinking. You know, he's probably half drunk during the entire thing. And it's funny. You know, it's mostly funny. Like, it's a serious action movie, but it's like, we're here for the jokes, too, from James Bond. We're here for the puns. We're here for the jokes.
Will Chase tweets the show at Chris Black and at Adam A. Abdallah. The Rock played college football, so this is a great segue. Will, we're not talking about that Rock. We're talking about the movie, The Rock.
I think he knows that. I think he's aware.
All right. It is Halloween, Abdallah. And so I thought we could do a trick or treat segment regarding college football here on Chicago's College Tailgate. I'm going to ask you a question. You tell me whether or not it is a trick or a treat. Eric is playing some spooky Halloween music.
Can we pause for 1 second here? Yep. for 1 second? Eric, can you play the only other Halloween song that is in the system? There's one other Halloween song. Just type in Halloween. It's that we played it the other. There it is. All right. Now we can do the segment. Carry on, Chris.
What in the Fantasia?
I'm picturing broomsticks kind of dancing about and Mickey Mouse. Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
That's what I'm seeing.
This is our theme. This is our Halloween theme.
All right. Trick or treat, college football edition. How about this? Let me start you with this one, Abdallah. Najee Harris for the Heisman. Najee Harris has been a force this season, rushing for 14 touchdowns in only 5 games. He is tied for the second most through the team's first 5 games over the last 25 seasons. He's tied with Lamar Jackson, who went on to win the Heisman in 2016, and only trails Ricky Williams, who also won the Heisman in 1998. Is Najee Harris going to be the Heisman? Is that a trick or treat?
That is a trick. That is not going to happen. As an Alabama fan, I will tell you that I don't think that is going to happen. It's a quarterback award, right? It's a quarterback award. I think that Mac Jones has a better chance of winning than Najee Harris. And obviously, we'll see how long Trevor Lawrence is out and whether or not this affects his Heisman candidacy. But if he misses a few games and Mac Jones has a few better games, then Mac Jones could win. You know, Justin Fields could also put together a good enough resume in the games that he plays to win. So I don't think that it's a running back award anymore. I don't think it's the best player anymore. I think it is just the best quarterback in college football.
Trick or treat, college football edition, because today is Halloween. Next up, will a non-Power 5 team get into the college football playoff? Every year it seems like it's a long shot, but one of the strangest college football seasons is upon us. And could this year be the year that a non-Power 5 team reaches the college football playoff? Since the beginning of the college football playoff in 2014, only one non-Power 5 team has reached the top 10 in the final week of the rankings. That was UCF in 2018, who was 8th in the final rankings despite being 12-0. Is the possibility of BYU, who at right now the playoff predictor on ESPN.com says it has a 13.9% chance to reach the college football playoff. Could we see a non-Power 5 team get into the college football playoff? Is that trick or treat?
I think that's another trick. I don't think you're going to see it. I think you've seen in the past with UCF, like BYU is cool, but they haven't played anybody. You know, like I think you're more likely to get a one-loss SEC team, maybe a Pac-12, an undefeated Pac-12 team, maybe an Oklahoma State, something like that, as opposed to BYU. I think that, you know, the college football playoff is about the best four teams, but it's also about eyeballs. And I think that having another SEC team, having an undefeated USC team, sorry, Chris, or someone like that in there draws more attention, because no offense to BYU, they'd get smoked by Clemson or Alabama. They would just get smoked. So you can put them in if you want. As I've said every year, put in UCF if you want to. But when you lose, don't ever come asking again.
Trick or treat, the final one. It's Halloween, Chicago's College Tailgate. So we have a college football edition of Trick or Treat. Is Oklahoma State a legit contender for the college football playoff? Led by Chuba Hubbard, Talen Wallace, and the best defense in the Big 12. They are 4-0 for the first time since 2015, and they are ranked 6th in the AP poll. Here's the catch, though, Abdallah. They have played the easiest schedule in the Big 12 so far, according to ESPN's FPI. Is Oklahoma State a legit contender for the CFP? Trick or treat?
Well, they got a big test against Texas today. They have a 49% chance to win that game. The next week they play Kansas State. They've got a much better chance to win that game. And then they're probably their biggest test is going to be November 21st at Oklahoma. I think if you have a team like Oklahoma State, I know they've played the easiest schedule, but they are from a Power 5 conference, then I think that you have to put them in. You have to give them consideration, right? I think it depends also. Some things have to go in their favor, maybe. You know, maybe Georgia has to lose again. Maybe if they lose the SEC championship game, then that opens the door. If Notre Dame beats Clemson because Trevor Lawrence isn't there, maybe that closes the door because then you have a possibility of an undefeated Notre Dame team. So that would close the door. So I think that, yes, they should be considered, but also a few things have to go their way. So this one, I think this one's a treat. I think this one's a little bag of peanut M&Ms. It's not the best treat. Like, it's not a Reese's, but it's not just plain M&Ms. This is the peanut M&Ms. This isn't nothing. You're not just passing this away to the parents. This is something you keep in your bag.
All right, trick or treat, there it is, College Football Edition here on Chicago's College Tailgate. We preview the biggest game of the day, Ohio State and Penn State, coming up next.
For the world of college football.
Now, back to more.
ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
The CCT scoreboard on ESPN 1000.
Baby, it's Fleck and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Here we go. Boston College. They have the football back. 4 minutes left in the first quarter. And the Eagles lead 14-7 on the number one team in the country, the Clemson Tigers. We'll keep our eyes on that one. I know the upset bird is awake early on a Saturday. George is up on Kentucky, 7-0 in the second quarter. Michigan State, Michigan tied at 7 midway through the first. Other games in the top 25 right now, Cincinnati, Memphis tied at 7 in the first quarter. Kansas State leads 3-0 on West Virginia, 4 minutes left in the first quarter. Coastal Carolina leads Georgia State 7-0 at the end of one. And Iowa State leads Kansas 13-0. 6 minutes left in the first quarter on that one, and that's the top 25 scoreboard right here on Chicago's College Tailgate. As Abdallah, we're taking a look now at Ohio State and Penn State. That's the marquee matchup tonight on ABC.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be, it's kind of a different atmosphere, obviously. You know, College Game Day was down there at Penn State, and normally this is an atmosphere where, you know, you've got the whiteout, you've got 100,000 strong, there's going to be some cutouts and friends and family on Halloween night. This is the one game where, like, you circle and you're like, man, like, this is a game where we're really, really going to miss the crowd for this kind of an atmosphere, because we all know it's a very, very, very tough place to play at night, especially, you know, this quote late, I guess this quote late into the season isn't that late for the Big Ten, but normally this would be late into the season.
Well, it's one of the marquee matchups of the Big Ten schedule. And let's preview this game with Bill Landis from The Athletic. He covers Ohio State. You can follow him on Twitter at BillLandis25. And Bill, when you take a look at Ohio State last week, we were talking earlier about how the Buckeyes kind of started off slow with Nebraska, but turned it on in the second half. What do you make of the outcome from last week's game against the Cornhuskers?
I think it was mostly what I expected. The offense looked really good, at least the passing game did. Justin Fields looks great. We heard all offseason about how he had found ways to improve his game, and I think that showed. And the run game was not as dynamic as we were used to seeing last year with J.K. Dobbins there, and the defense, which is moving some guys around, lost some great players, first-round draft picks, and has a new coordinator. Had some hiccups early and then got some stuff figured out. So there are some folks in Columbus, I think, who saw what happened and saw Nebraska move the ball and are kind of afraid of what that might mean moving forward. I actually thought it was what should have been expected coming into a year after such a strange offseason. And then, you know, at the end of the day, they win by 5 touchdowns. So there can't be much to complain about.
Penn State has a new offensive coordinator in Kirk Ciarrocca. How will that defense show up against, you know, basically they might still run some of the same system, but they're coming in here with a blank slate against a team that really struggled and obviously lost against Indiana.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup because I'm not sure Penn State really showed much of its hand last week against Indiana. And on the flip side of that, Ohio State's not changing a ton on defense, but they're tweaking things a little bit. And I'm not sure they showed a bunch of that against Nebraska either. So you could have an offense and a defense on the field tonight that really look, you know, considerably different maybe than they looked last week. And I just think that's really interesting to kind of see how that plays out. Ohio State does not have the pass rush that it had last year when Chase Young was on the team. And I think Sean Clifford, Penn State's quarterback, might have a little more time to throw. And if he does, Penn State certainly got weapons. I think that'll, at the very least, test Ohio State secondary. There wasn't much of a test last week against Nebraska. Nebraska just kind of tried to run the ball and play clock management. And maybe Penn State will try to do the same just to keep the ball away from Ohio State's offense. But if they decide to play it differently and take shots down the field, there could be openings to do that. And there's openings that didn't exist last year when these two teams played each other.
Bill Landis from The Athletic, he covers Ohio State. He's joining Bleck and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate, previewing Ohio State and Penn State. Back to Justin Fields. He has all the hype coming in as far as people in the Midwest watching the Big Ten. But when you watch Justin Fields play, where do you kind of put him on the scale of other great Ohio State quarterbacks we've seen through the years? And then on that same in that same conversation with other quarterbacks who've gone on to the NFL, is Justin Fields really one of the real deal quarterbacks who we could say is fighting for the Heisman and will be a top pick in the NFL draft from what you see?
I think so. I believe so. I even think, and maybe I'm out on the limb a little bit with this one, I think it's possible that Justin can play himself this year to being the number one quarterback in next year's draft. And I know it feels like Trevor Lawrence has had that sewn up for so long, really since the day he showed up at Clemson. I think people have been talking about him as the number one pick in the 2021 NFL draft. But I don't know if people outside of the fan bases that have followed Justin Fields' career know that he and Trevor Lawrence were considered like kind of even coming out of high school. And there are people that would tell you that Justin was better. At the very least, they're very similarly talented, and Trevor had a head start and Justin's playing catch up, and maybe he'll never be able to quite catch up to Trevor, but I think it's possible. And it just depends on where Ryan Day wants to go with this offense. I think most weeks Ohio State could line it up and run the ball and play a conservative and still win by a considerable margin. But if you wanted to truly unleash Justin Fields, I think you're talking about a guy who can not put up the same numbers that a Joe Burrow put up last year, because there's going to be much fewer games. But if you averaged it out, I think maybe something like that. Justin's really talented. He can run, make every throw you need him to make. I think he's smart, and that's an underrated part of his game. So I view him as a top-tier quarterback nationally. And when you talk about the lineage of quarterback at Ohio State, he kind of has all the best attributes of a Dwayne Haskins or of a Braxton Miller, of a JT Barrett. You know, he kind of takes all the best things those guys did and then puts it into one package. And it's really scary when you think about it that way. But if he doesn't win a national title here, that obviously takes some of it away. So from a talent standpoint, he's as good as Ohio State's ever had. Whether or not he gets remembered that way, I think will largely be dependent upon whether or not they win a title this year.
He literally missed one throw against Nebraska last week. Like, he was 20 of 21 for 276 yards, carried the ball 15 times for 54 yards. Is there any weakness to his game whatsoever?
I don't know if there's a weakness to his game. I think there are still questions you can ask about him. Because Ohio State always does seem to have a pretty stark talent advantage, he's not had to play in games where he's constantly asked to like fit passes into tight windows or stuff like that, or have to make multiple reads sort of consistently in the passing game. And maybe Penn State will test him tonight. I'm kind of hoping that they do, because that will just sort of be the next step in the evolution of Justin Fields. But he's still very young. This is his second year starting in college. He wasn't an every year starter in high school like Trevor Lawrence was. So he's played less football than Trevor. So there are situations that Justin just hasn't experienced yet. But in terms of flaws or weaknesses, I don't think he has any.
Bill Landis from The Athletic covers Ohio State, previewing Ohio State and Penn State later on tonight with Bleck and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. You know, a storyline that we talk about here on the show all the time is recruiting. And Ohio State for years has been a powerhouse of recruiting in the Midwest. But they also had Urban Meyer 4 years running the program. What's been the difference, and why has Ryan Day had such great success continuing that program to recruit the way it's had under Urban Meyer? Why has Ryan Day been so good at it?
It's kind of a crazy thing, and it was the biggest question I think anyone had about Ryan Day when he took over is, can you sustain this recruiting monster that Urban Meyer built? And I think, you know, Ryan's only had kind of one full class, and he's putting together his second class now. But if you look at what he just signed in 2020, what they're building in 21, and the early start to 2022, like, it's possible he does better than Urban did, which is kind of a crazy thing to think. I think it's you know, he was put in an advantageous position because the brand that Urban Meyer created and the program that he left to Ryan is at the top level of the sport, and that makes it easier to recruit anywhere. But I do think also there's just something about Ryan Day's personality that resonates with people. Like, he's very serious about his business, because you have to be when you're at Ohio State. But there's just a likability quality with him, I think. I think he's very much a player's coach. And I think it's hard to be a player's coach when you're expected to contend for championships. I think it's similar to what Dabo Swinney has going at Clemson. I think they go about it different ways, but people just kind of gravitate to these guys, and it's kind of a hard thing to peg. But when you have that sort of personality trait combined with everything else that your program has to offer, and the fact that you develop guys to go to the NFL at the clip that Ohio State does, the sky's the limit, kind of. So they're in position to sign the best class in 2021, and as things are starting now with the 22 class, they're very much going to be positioned to sign the best class in that cycle too. And that's one thing that Urban Meyer never did. They recruited well, but he never signed a number one class.
Ryan Day and Ohio State were on the forefront once the Big Ten season was canceled, that they wanted to play because they knew the kind of talent that they had this year and that they could win a national championship. We've seen what's going on with Wisconsin. Illinois has a bunch of cases popping up now, even though they're still playing right now. What's the mood around Ohio State? Are they taking any extra precautions to ensure that they aren't the reason a game is canceled, so they can be in consideration for a national championship?
Extra, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much sure extra you can do besides, you know, you do the daily testing, and that helps maybe avoid spread in some cases, although it didn't help at Wisconsin. Ryan Day has hammered the point home, and he talked to the players, and then they say, like, there's not much more that Ryan can do in terms of hammering home the importance of sort of being diligent and avoiding really contact with anybody outside of the program. You know, I think they're not doing much when families come to visit them. I think the families really aren't meeting up with the players. I think a lot of the players live alone. That was one of the things they were trying to do in the summer, and I don't think it's the entire roster, but they were trying to get to that point if they could, just so, you know, if one player tests positive, he doesn't go back to his apartment and his four teammates who live with him get it that way too. So I think they're taking steps like that, but it's mostly just about, you know, making sacrifices to be super diligent about this thing. And they had a flare up in the summer where they had to cancel practices, but that was not football specific. That was kind of the whole athletic department. And from what I was told, that was more of a cautious approach than something they necessarily had to do. But since then, it's kind of been okay. But, you know, I don't think anyone thinks it's smooth sailing. We see with this, even with the daily testing plan in place, with what's happening at Wisconsin and Illinois, that this thing can turn on you quickly.
Who wins tonight? Ohio State, Penn State. Who do you have?
I have I must have said the wrong pick. I have Ohio State winning. I have Penn State covering. The spread has moved around a lot. I think it started at 8. It got up to 12 or 13, and now it's coming back down closer to 10. If it's double digits, I'll take Penn State to cover. This game's always close, or has been at least for the last 4 years. Ohio State has a bad sort of penchant for shooting itself in the foot a little bit when they play Penn State, whether that's turnovers or a special teams blunder that allows Penn State to score. And Penn State's very talented. It's the second most talented team in the league. It's a team that is going to give you the closest thing to sort of a talent equated game with Ohio State in the Big Ten. And I think that shows up when they play each other every year. And James Franklin always has his team ready to play Ohio State. Say what you will about him and the mistakes he's made, they always play really well when they play Ohio State. So factoring all that in, and I think Penn State does enough to attack what I think are some weak spots in Ohio State, whether that's lack of pass rush or, you know, lack of a dynamic running game or some questions in pass protection on the offensive line. To keep this close, but Justin Fields is the gap between Justin Fields and Sean Clifford is too big for me to think Penn State pulls off the win. So I have 31-21 Ohio State and a cover for Penn State.
Thank you, Bill. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That's Bill Landis from The Athletic, covers Ohio State. Follow him on Twitter, BillLandis25. Bleck and Abdallah here on Chicago's College Tailgate. Coming up next, we take a look at the playoff predictor in college football.
Need to get schooled on the latest in the world of college football? ESPN 1000 Chicago College Tailgate Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Here are your hosts, Jonathan Hood, Chris Bleck, and Adam Abdallah.
Shout out to those watching us on Twitch today. ESPN 1000 Chicago, brought to you by Miller Lite. It's Chicago's College Tailgate with Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah. Jonathan Hood has the weekend off, and we're brought to you by Four Wind Casino. Abdallah, we have a developing situation. Clemson and Boston College at the end of one. BC is up 14-7, and this is why the Trevor Lawrence news was so big heading into this weekend's game.
Did you see Dabo lay into his defense before that series? They did force a three and out there. So, and then DJU, as I'm just going to call him, DJ, because that's the, I think no one on Twitter wants to take the time to copy and paste the name. So they're just saying DJU. I feel like
isn't
that's
it
the.
Uigongalela?
Yes, Uigongalela. That's great. Cool. That took you one time. I feel like Tungavailoa took you like 3 weeks, but that one got you. You props to you. But also, he had a great pass to pick up a first down, right? And they went into the crowd, and I believe they showed his family. And of course, I love every quarterback needs to have either a brother or a cousin that looks like they could play offensive line for him. And he's just up like high-fiving everybody. And I'm like, all right, that's totally that dude's brother or cousin. Just like this big dude that you know is just like out in front of him that could probably play O-line for him. But that, listen, so, it's Clemson. They're going to win this game. They're going to win.
Well, will they cover? You know what they say. Good teams win. Great teams cover.
I don't think they care about covering. I think they care about surviving this game, getting him back for the Notre Dame game, and then going on from there.
All right. So each week on this show, we like to keep track of who is in the race for the college football playoff. We call it the College Football Playoff Predictor.
Chicago's College Tailgate.
The Playoff Predictor. Sure, it's a guess, but it's as educated of a guess as there can be.
Because when it comes to deciding the four teams in the playoff, everything matters.
In a game of hypotheticals.
Who's in?
See, this is the best part about this segment, Abdallah, is that there is so much up in the air, so much at play. It will make it interesting from week to week. You know, in the previous years here on the show, we would say Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and whoever else is undefeated. I don't think we can really do that at the moment. We know that Clemson's the number one team in the country at 6-0. Right now, they are in a tough battle, a spooky situation on Halloween weekend against Boston College.
Get out.
Yep, you're welcome. Alabama is 5-0, ranked number two in the country right now.
Happy birthday to Nick Saban. Happy birthday, Dad. Ranked number one in the playoff predictor right now. So happy birthday to Dad. Turning 69 on Halloween. Nice.
Did you see that Nick Saban has never the Alabama football program has never played on his birthday? They're going for their first victory on his birthday since he's been at Alabama.
Got to take down the Pirate today.
In fact, he only has, I think it's, he has one victory on his birthday, and that's when he was at Michigan State back in the day. You know, and the reason why I say this is weird, it's not like he has a July or January birthday, right? Like, The last day of October, we usually have football this weekend. It's very strange.
But how many times does it fall on October 31st?
The Saturday?
Saturday.
I mean, it's probably very few times, but I'm just saying I was surprised to read that this morning. Okay, so Ohio State, they're 1-0. They face Penn State tonight. We just previewed the game. Check the pod if you missed the interview. It was fantastic. Number four in the country is Notre Dame at 5-0. And I think Notre Dame at the moment can make a legitimate argument that they should be in this college football playoff predictor, because not only are they 5-0 and they look great last week against Pitt, but also Clemson right now is struggling, which opens the door for Notre Dame. And right now, I think this is the most ideal situation at the moment for the Fighting Irish to suggest that they could be in the college football playoff.
Well, here's the problem, Chris. They're going to have to play Clemson. Let's say they beat Clemson. Let's say that Trevor Lawrence doesn't play and they beat Clemson. They still have to play them in the ACC championship game. So unless you say, okay, well, Notre Dame, they lost one, they beat one. And then what do you do with Georgia if they end up in the SEC championship game and they beat Alabama in the SEC championship game? Do you say, okay, well, each team now has one loss. You'd have 4 1-loss teams. What do you do there? You know, like, do you put in a 1-loss Georgia and a 1-loss Alabama? Do you put in a 1-loss Notre Dame, even though they might have the easier schedule than an Alabama or a Georgia? So there's a lot of stuff to figure out, and it kind of mostly depends on whether or not Trevor Lawrence plays next weekend against Notre Dame. But you know, listen, we say this every single year, like Jurassic Park, life finds a way.
The three other teams right now to kind of keep your eyes on: Oklahoma State, big matchup today against Texas. They're 4-0 in the Big 12. Cincinnati is 4-0. They're ranked 7th in the country in the American. And that's one of those where you kind of have to look at the schedule they play and see, could Cincinnati go undefeated? And the other team that's making the case, even though they have played only cupcakes, is BYU, who's ranked 11th in the country. They're also 6-0. And I believe they are 5-1 against the spread to this point in the season. They are by far smashing the blank out of their opponents. So, you know, that's where you look at BYU and you say, are they really, really good? Or are they just beating really bad teams? Because they had to make up a schedule of a grab bag of nonsense.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that the committee's going to try to figure that out, and they're going to take that into consideration. You're also forgetting the teams that are 0-0 that haven't played yet. Oregon, USC, you know, those teams could be undefeated. You could be seeing
Michigan's 1-0.
Yeah, Michigan is 1-0, Big Ten. I mean, they do have to play Ohio State, so that's going to be a big game at the end of the season. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yep. We will give you a top 25 scoreboard coming up next. And also Notre Dame.
Does Tom Waddle have pants on? Can we get a wellness check on Tom Waddle? Does he have pants and a shirt on?
Hopefully he's wearing some kind of clothing as Boston College is doing work. Notre Dame also takes on Georgia Tech. You can hear the game right here on ESPN 1000. We will get you set for the Fighting Irish and the Yellow Jackets coming up in 2 minutes.